This is Paul Mills. Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word. It is my prayer that God will speak to you today, bring hope, healing, and direction in your life.
Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Philippians. We are continuing a series of messages that we have been on for several weeks titled Be Joyful. 26 times in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul uses the word joy or rejoice or enjoy or some variation of the word joy. And the Scripture tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If the enemy can steal your joy, he's stolen your strength. He's stolen your energy. It's very important that we walk not by sight, but by faith, that we walk according to what God says, not what we see or what we feel. Circumstances can really get ugly sometimes. Have you noticed that? Circumstances, people, things. And at that point, we are called on to make a decision of how we're going to live. Would you stand, please, for the reading of the Word this morning? We're in Philippians chapter 3. There are notes in your bulletin. I encourage you to take those. I'm beginning in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. You know, there's just a time we have to tell ourselves, rejoice in the Lord. You don't feel like rejoicing, Jim. I mean, you feel like coming to church on Sunday morning and singing, Nobody Knows. Here you are up here singing, What a Mighty God We Serve. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Paul said, I want you to really get this right. This is important. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship God by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by what? Faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Lord, I thank You for the example, for the testimony that You were to us. I thank You for the Apostle Paul, the testimony that he is to us. And I thank You, Lord, that as we look at Your life, as we look at the Apostle Paul's life, Lord, there is hope. Hope beyond the grave, hope beyond pain, hope beyond struggle. Father, our hope is in You. And I thank You today that hope is being released. Our vision is being released, and we understand where our strength comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. Anoint Your Word. Bless it today, Father. Build faith. If there are any here who do not know You, may they come to find faith in You before this day is over. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It is so good to have Coyle this morning in the service with us. And bless you, brother. Thanks for being here. Safeguarding your joy. The notes that I have in your bulletin, I encourage you to take those and follow with me. Joy is a recurrent theme in the book of Philippians. The Apostle Paul talks about joy. 17 times. He speaks about other relative things regarding joy many other times. Philippians 3:1, this text we just read, says, Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. That word rejoice means have joy. When it's all said and done, we are instructed to find our joy not in man, not in things, not in circumstances. My joy comes from the Lord. And please hear me, if you try to find your joy in anything but Christ, you're going to be disappointed. Man will fail you. Money will fail you. Friends will fail you. The only thing that will not fail you is your relationship with Christ. He said, it is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. He said, forgive me, I know I've said this before, but you need to hear it again. Can anybody agree with that? In this scripture passage, Paul gives us three safeguards on maintaining your joy. And I want to quickly go over those this morning. Number one, resist legalistic attitudes. Resist legalistic attitudes. Legalism is substituting rules and regulations for my relationship to Christ. Substituting rules and regulations for my relationship. It gets the focus off of what God has done for you and gets the focus on what you have to do for God. I feel very sorry for many people who are trying to be Christians. And they'll never make it. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough work. You can't attain salvation. Salvation is a free gift, ladies and gentlemen, that comes by faith through grace. The only thing you can do to receive salvation is say, Lord, please save me. Please forgive me. That's all you can do. And the rest of it is God's doing. Many churches say salvation is free. Then they put 500 other commandments on you to keep your salvation. Yes, salvation is free, but you've got to do this, 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 and this. No, salvation is free, ladies and gentlemen. It's to whosoever will, whosoever will call upon my name will be saved. Otherwise, it becomes Christ plus works, and it's not Christ plus anything. In verse 2 and 3 of our text, Philippians chapter 3, verse 2 says, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision. And he's talking about those that would impose a fleshly act of circumcision for salvation. And there were those that claimed to be even Christians, Brother Perry, that were still circumcising and were trying to put this work of the flesh on people. And he said, it's not appropriate. It's not necessary. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God. Not a legalistic obedience and doing, but it is by the Spirit. Nobody had to tell me, now you need to love Nancy. I just loved her. Amen? You just do things because of a relationship. It's not something that has to be forced on you. Who glory in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. And he's saying here, if you want to maintain your joy, live each day by grace. Grace is a wonderful word. It means the unmerited love and favor of God. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. I just said, Lord, forgive me, and he did. And he gave me grace. And I live and I walk in the unmerited love and favor of God. In your notes it says to realize that everything that God does in you and through you is by grace rather than by working for it and earning it. That, dear friend, is the secret of joy. It's not me getting up every day and saying, boy, I hope I do enough that God will love me and accept me today and I hope I'll make it to heaven someday. No. Grace is the unmerited love and favor of God. All we can do is say, Lord, I believe you're God's Son. Forgive me of sin. Come into my heart. And when we do that, we become his child. Verse 4 through 6 of our text. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. Paul is speaking here. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Paul pulls out his trophies and says, hey, if you want to compare lists, you got to go a long way to beat me. I've done it all. Now, Paul gives us some examples of legalism that we can apply today. And I've listed in your notes five things that make you a legalist. Number one, you begin to trust in rituals. Verse 5 says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I know some people that were baptized when they were a child, circumcised, whatever the case may be. And they're trusting what somebody else did for them for their relationship with Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to tell you it doesn't work that way. It's you coming to Christ on your own and saying, Lord, forgive me of sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior. If you've not done that, I don't care how good a person you are. I don't care how good your parents were, how well-intended they were. You do not have the gift of eternal life until you personally make that decision to follow Him. Number two, they don't trust in race. Verse 5, I was of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul is saying he doesn't trust in rituals or race. It's not who I am. It's not my family. It's not my money. It's not my education. The only thing that I can trust in is saying yes to Jesus. Be Lord of my life. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. And ladies and gentlemen, He just comes into your heart and forgives you. Say, is that all there is? That's all there is. Number three, don't trust in religion. Verse 5, he said, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Religion is man's attempt to get to God. It works. It doesn't work. Number four, don't trust in rules. Verse 5 says, in regard to the law of Pharisee, they took 10 commandments. Brother Perry, they expanded them into 619 other commandments. So these people actually had 629 commandments they had to obey to get to heaven. Dear God, I just give up, Jim, and say, I can't do it. Thank God, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God. Number five, don't trust in reputation. Verse 6 says, as for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, they were faultless. They were trusting in their own good works. The problem is, that's all well and good, but God said no sin can enter heaven. If you've messed up once, you're going to hell. Amen? Unless you've asked Jesus to forgive you and be your Lord. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not what you wear. It's not what you eat. It's not what you drink. It's have you asked Him to be Lord? Have you received Him into your life as your Savior? Christian life is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's having Him in us. I had somebody visit 2 or 3 weeks ago in the church, and they just made the comment, boy, your people sure seem joyful. I said, for a bunch of old people, there's not much groaning and moaning and complaining. Those people have joy. Amen? We do. I love this church. If you're a moaner and a groaner and a complainer, you don't stay long here. Amen. You figured out we're full of the joy of the Lord. We come in talking about we serve a good God. Amen. And we do. Resist legalistic attitudes. Attitudes that say, I earn my salvation. I earn the grace of God. No, you don't. Everything God has is free. Salvation, healing, heaven, it's all free, ladies and gentlemen. All you can do is come and say, Lord, forgive me, come into my heart and be my Savior. Number two in your notes is to reevaluate your activities. Verses 7 and 8 in our text. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I think it's interesting in that seventh verse, the Apostle Paul is talking about profit and loss. I'm not sure if he was a capitalist or an accountant or what he was, but he understood profit and loss. Safeguard number two says, keep your priorities in perspective. My priorities are to make Jesus Lord, to honor Him, to put Him first. Ladies and gentlemen, I love every one of you in this room, and I care about what you think about me, but you're second to Him. Amen? I love Nancy. Nancy and I have been married a long time. I never can remember how long, but it's been a long time. How long has it been, baby? 47 years. If I make it to 50, she's going to hit me on my head and just put me out of my misery, but no. Our relationship with Christ is the most important relationship that we have. Don't lose your joy over things that don't really count. Keep in perspective what's important here. What's important is not our jobs, our businesses, it's not our houses, it's not even family. Those are all important things. But the most important thing is my relationship with Jesus Christ. Perry, someday I will stand before Him and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You are faithful over the few things, I make you ruler over many things. That's the most important thing that will ever happen. Everything else falls in line after that. Don't lose your joy over things that don't count. You can have it all and still be miserable. Luke 12:15 says, then He said to them, watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I need to, with the Apostle Paul, understand that my life consists of Christ. I consider them all but rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Doesn't matter how much money you have, what kind of position you have, it's Christ. In your notes, I make the statement, when I became a Christian, I gave up guilt and gained a clear conscience and forgiveness. I gave up worry and gain power for living. I gave up going to hell and gained eternal life. Is that good news for anybody? Anybody here happy you're not going to hell? I gave up having to solve all my own problems and gained the Holy Spirit in me, leading and guiding me. I'm just going to tell you flat out, I am not bright enough to live life on my own. I'm not bright enough to do it. It's the Holy Spirit in me that's leading and guiding and giving direction. It's God's Word. Number three, refocus your ambitions. Refocus your ambitions. Lasting joy comes from knowing Christ better and better. There's not a lot of things that are good about getting old other than you get to know Christ better. We're closer and closer to that day that we'll be with Him. The Amplified version of that 10th verse says, For my determined purpose is that I may know Christ, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more strongly and clearly. And you know what? I believe the day will come when the Lord looks and just says, it's enough. Come on home, son. We progressively grow to become more and more like Him. Finally, He just says, good, come on home. Come on home. And there we will join thousands upon ten thousands upon ten thousands, and we will begin to worship Him. And there will be no more pain and no more sorrow and no more death. We will be with Him eternally. And the work that He started in us. How many of you received Christ as a young person? I'm going to say 20 or under. Let me see your hand. You received Christ as a young person. Some of you have been walking with Christ a long time. How many of you found Him a little later in your life? Let me see your hands. Yeah, a lot of you. Really doesn't matter. When we received Him, there is a process in us that is taking place to make us more and more like Him. Someday, we will enter His presence. I have in your notes, there's a big difference between knowing and knowing about. The question this morning is, do you know Him? Not about Him, do you know Him? Does He know about you? Amen. Safeguard number three, get to know Christ better and better. Know Him intimately. How do you do that? Spending time with Him. I hate cable television. I have to fight it to get it off and to get in the Word. Anybody else have that struggle besides me? I just have to fight that stupid cable television. Finally, number four, three words that will help you know God in a better way. Number one, time with God. Sitting down with your Bible and reading it. Praying. God, give me insight and revelation. God, meet the needs in my family, my church, my nation. Listening to good Christian music and CDs. Things that will really build you up and inspire you. Number two, talk to God. John 16:24, until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and your joy will be complete. Come to God. Say, Lord, you know the needs of my life, my family, my church, our nation. Call things that are not as though they are. I mean, be bold. Call forth the salvation of your family. Call forth the salvation of our nation. Call forth the blessing of God in our church. And then number three, trust in God. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. My hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus' blood and righteousness. Lord, today we make a new decision and a new commitment to follow You. Forgive us, Lord, for being moved by what we see, what we hear. Forgive us, Lord, for being moved by the things that are around us. Our feelings, our sickness, our money, our families. I come this morning and I confess that our hope is in You. Satan, you're a defeated foe. You come to rob, to kill, and to destroy. And I put you on notice today. You will not have what God started. We claim our salvation, our forgiveness, eternal life, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word. We claim our futures, Lord. We claim our families. We claim our nation, oh God. We claim that the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And I thank you, Lord, that you hold keys of the kingdom. You give them to us as we trust in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You finish what you start. We're not alone. You called us. You knew us. You called us by name. Lord, you gave us your Spirit who lives in us. He's going to finish that in Jesus' name.
This is Paul Mills again. I pray that this message has blessed you. This ministry is possible only through the faithful prayers and financial gifts of God's people. Please pray for us and make a financial contribution so that we can continue to reach people around the world with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. You can give online by clicking the Giving tab at the top of the website, or you can give by mail to the address also listed on the Giving page. All gifts are sincerely needed, appreciated, and are tax deductible. Thank you for helping us reach the world for Christ.